The annual Harvest Festival at Bayfront Festival Park is just around the corner. And joining us now is Festival Director Claire Hintz. Not only is she going to tell us more about the festival, we're also going to talk about a new topic at the festival this year, tiny houses, a popular new way to practice sustainability. Good morning, Claire. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing quite well. I'm a little soaked, but...
yes.
It was an unexpected bit of weather this morning. Well, actually, it was expected. I should say my way into campus this morning was delayed such that I got feet wet, and so it was just... really kind of grumpy by the time I got in, but it's great to talk to you now, and now that I'm dry and warm. So
yeah. Well, my plants are happy out there.
I'm sure they are.
We needed some rain.
Yes, and the festival this weekend, of course, there'll be no rain. We know for sure.
As best as we can, yes.
Right. Well, the festival is become a real great tradition now here in Bayfront every late summer, and it's wonderful to bring it back around again. How are things looking?
Oh, it's looking great. We have such a great lineup of music and local food and all the vegetables you can stockpile for the winter. We have wheelbarrows and volunteers on hand to help you get that bag of potatoes to your car.
A wheelbarrow of potatoes even. That's
if you are stocking up for the winter, this is the place to go. Garlic, potatoes, all the vegetables of summer, all the late crops, wild rice, maple syrup. It's all the good stuff. Flowers for your sweetie.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's great. And we're really happy to have the Energy Fair back again this year, and that is bigger and better than ever too.
The Energy Fair, sort of a combined effort along with the Harvest Festival.
Yeah, at some point we figured out, you know, food and energy are really not separate topics, and our impact on one is definitely our impact on the other. And so, and the people that care about local food also care about renewable energy and sustainable living. So we kind of rolled it all into one, and so there's lots of fun demonstrations this year to check out.
Well, and a new one this year, well, not really new, I guess. It's an idea that's been around for a while, but it's really kind of taken hold. I've not only at the festival, but I think just in popular culture over the last year or so, have been the tiny houses, the tiny house movement. Tell us a little bit about why this came into play this year. What's the reason?
Yeah, we're very excited this year to be able to host a tiny house that was created by the Minnesota Renewable Energy Society to demonstrate renewable energy. And they were building it at the same time as the tiny house movement took off. Uh-huh. And so it got so much more leverage because of the tiny house movement. But it's a beautiful little house that demonstrates daylighting, solar hot water, solar electric, solar hot air, which is a little bit less common or less known technology. Mm-hmm. And then the house itself is built out of super insulated panels. So really neat building to take a look at, and very cozy on the inside. I think I would want to move into one of these.
I think cozy is usually the best word to describe the tiny house idea. Is this one of the houses that's on wheels, that's sort of pulled around on a trailer, or is
it's pulled around on a trailer, and it was built in the Twin Cities, and so we were able to find some partners to help us bring it north. It has most recently been at the State Fair, where it picks up hundreds of thousands of visitors every year. And so we're really excited to have it in Duluth. This is its first foray into Duluth.
I'm thinking about 100,000 of people in a tiny house.
Well, hopefully not all at
once. Yes.
The axle on the trailer would have some problems.
Well, the tiny house movement is really taken hold, and I recognize that there are some wonderful sustainable ideas, and I think probably the first one that would come to mind for me, just taking a guess, would be the ability, because it's such a tiny space, that heating and cooling would be a lot easier because you're not dealing with such a large amount of air inside a house.
That's true. Yep. And it's also a way to focus your energy on the outside. You know, we need shelter, of course, in this cold northern climate and rainy northern climate. but it frees people up to, you know, spend their energy outside. So you've got your cozy interior for bad weather days. But, you know, it encourages you to go back outside and enjoy the great North Woods and maybe enjoy your garden.
Right. Well, and I'm thinking now that if one were to buy a tiny house and going home with a wheelbarrow full of potatoes. You've got to figure out where to put them all now.
You'd be all set.
Yeah, that's right. You'd have to
stock up for the winter.
Tuck them under the bed, put them in every cabinet you can find, and you'll be all set.
Yep, there's actually some storage space in the tiny house. You know, not obviously a lot, but yeah. There's some loft area there. You could tuck some potatoes away.
Are there some downsides, though, to the tiny house movement? I mean, it seems like such a neat idea, but of course, aside from just the lack of elbow room, which I think some people maybe have become accustomed to, are there some other issues that communities are facing with tiny houses that are both good and bad?
Well, I think, you know, where everybody is going to need to grapple with zoning and with where these houses fit. I think because they're so new, all of the codes, that building codes and zoning that we have in place didn't really, you know, relate to those buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we have to rethink some of those things. But I think that the tiny house movement really does a good job calling into question the way we organize our spaces. And also how much we invest. I mean, we have all poured a lot of money into our homes, and we love our spaces. And the tiny house movement really highlights the fact that you don't have to spend an overwhelming amount of money on a dwelling, and it frees you up to do other things, and it frees up some of your savings to do other things.
Mm.
So I think that's the plus side. And communities will figure out, well, you know, what kind of space do we need for each tiny house, and you know, what's the plot size that we want tiny houses to park on, and you know, can they stay? Are they permanent? Are they temporary? How does that all work?
Right.
But they're really nice for, you know, being able to get started. I know a lot of farmers in the area when they've bought land and are ready to start farming, they don't necessarily want to put a lot of money into a house. They want to put it into their business. And so tiny houses have been a real boon because they can create a tiny house and they have a starting place to live while they're building their farm business. And so I see them popping up all over the Shawamigan Bay where I live. And it's really neat to see that it's an affordable housing option for farmers and lots of other folks, too.
Sure. Zoning, I could see, as you say, it could be a very interesting issue. The temptation, of course, would be to create a packed little neighborhood full of tiny houses all right next to each other. Then there'd be no room outside to run around, which is one of the benefits that you've pointed out. So.
Right. Well, and a lot of communities are going to more clustered development anyway. And so maybe, you know, all the tiny houses are in one little area, and then that saves a contiguous, nice park space for the, you know, the running around activities.
Right. Why have a yard when there could be a great big yard that we all share? Excellent. Wonderful. Well, Claire, that's great. Are there, there'll be one on display, you say, this weekend at the Harvest Festival?
Yes.
And I assume lots of information about them as well. There'll be people there who are experts who can let people know all the things they want to know.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and each of the features in the tiny house, the solar hot water, the solar electric, all of those features will also have other folks there, other vendors there who can talk about those in great detail, because we have inside the energy fair, we have a lot of exhibitors who can talk about each of those technologies. So you can learn a lot more about all of it right at the energy fair, and then snack on some really wonderful food while you're walking through.
Right, especially the all the fresh vegetables that people have been bringing to the largest farmer's market in the region every year.
So yes, we have a great lineup of farmers. They've been stockpiling for weeks to bring things in. And then we have the food court, which is featuring a lot of local produce. We have Love Creamery, who is a longtime Harvest Festival attendee, coming back. She only makes ice cream for festivals, and so she's got local produce, local fruit in the ice cream, and it's really good.
Fantastic. Well, great. Well, Claire, thanks so much for your time this morning. We're excited about this. It's great to speak with you today.
Yes, thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right, take care.
Yes, you too.
Claire Hintz, the festival director of the Harvest Festival this year at Bayfront Park, coming up this weekend. She's also the coordinator for the Lake Superior Sustainable Farming Association. And we're happy to speak with her this morning about tiny houses and all the other things that you can see at the Harvest Festival this weekend.